truly enjoy our time together each week as we celebrate the Holy Mass together as a community. This morning we find ourselves right in the middle of the greatest discourse that has ever been given or ever will be given, namely the Sermon on the Mount. And up to this point, Jesus had delivered the Beatitudes to the massive crowd of onlookers who were searching for reasons to be optimistic and faith-filled in their lives, to find joy and hope about life. For example, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And once he completes the Beatitudes, he turns and he says to his disciples, "You are, you are." Now, to address somebody as you are is something that's very personal. It's sort of like he looks at John and says, "John, you are." Or he looks at his mother and says, "Mary, you are." We see a very beautiful illustration. And so, since he's addressing the disciples, it's the same thing for us. He's speaking to us in a very personal way. Like he's saying, "Larry, you are." Or he's saying, "Sue, you are." And just what is it that we are? Well, we are Christ's witnesses in the world. That's what Jesus is going to say and speak about. See, Jesus' last words before ascending into heaven were these words. He said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will be," he says, "like salt that has not lost its flavor," meaning that the saltiness, the good that you display in this life as a citizen of God's kingdom will be highly attractive to other people. And as they discover God in their lives, they will give glory to God. They will praise God. And he says, by doing good, by going about and doing good, you will disperse the darkness in people's lives so that they can see their way clear to God. And when they find God, they will praise God for who he is. Now, light and salt, these are two very uplifting and powerful illustrations to illustrate to us the great reality and potential that we have, each one of us has, in leading others to God when we take the message of Christ to heart, when we live out that message. Now, while it may appear very obvious to you what doing good means, I would ask you this, is it really that clear? For example, how do you define good? Who defines what is good and what's not good? And how do we, more importantly, how do we bring good out at levels which surpass human capacity and go into the supernatural realm? Well, you've already got a head start on this. Actually, your maturity in understanding these questions is due to the great Catholic formation that you have received down through your life. Formation on the area that is known as virtues. Have you ever heard of virtues? Any of you ever heard of that in your catechism? Well, I hope you have. See, virtues are another word for doing good. It means to do good. And today's readings provide us with a wonderful opportunity to brush up on our understanding of the Catholic faith as it relates to practicing or living out the Christian virtues. So what I want us to do in the remaining moments that I have is to look at how we can go about developing a greater good through the exercise of Christian virtues. The first thing is that the first level of virtues is called cardinal. How many of you heard of cardinal virtues? You heard of that? Okay. That's sort of a Catholic terminology. And there's four of these cardinal virtues. Do you know where they come from? Well, if you go to the eighth chapter of Wisdom, the Book of Wisdom, there they are. And here they are. We read this. Wisdom teaches prudence, temperance, justice, and fortitude. Those are the four virtues. Prudence, meaning to show foresight and discretion. Prudent people are people that hold their tongue when they're tempted to want to speak out quickly. Prudent people are people who think before they react, before they leap. And prudent people are those who see danger and they take refuge in it. That's prudence. And prudence is called the rudder of all the virtues. And then temperance. Well, we probably know that one. Temperance means moderation and self-restraint. It means that we're self-controlled in what our thoughts and our actions are in life. And then there's justice. Justice, meaning to be fair and reasonable with other people. This is such a great virtue that we read in the book of Proverbs that doing what is right and just is more important to the Lord than offering him sacrifice. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. And then we hear of this great virtue in today's first reading. What did Isaiah say? He said, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked, and satisfy the afflicted. And then what did the psalmist say? He says, well done for the one who conducts his affairs with justice. They lavishly give to the poor. So there's that sense of making things fair and reasonable for all humans on the earth. And then the final virtue is called fortitude. And boy, we need a lot of fortitude in today's world. Fortitude essentially means courage in the midst of adversity. Fortitude means to endure hardship and also to overcome fears that we may have in our lives. Now, this is very inspiring stuff because this is how we live out our lives. And an interesting thing to note about the cardinal virtues is that they are learned through wisdom and through practice. So we learn about them and then we practice them. That's how they become a part of us. And this really is a great reason for why we should attend Mass. It's sort of like you're being here this morning. You're learning, you're gaining, you're accumulating wisdom about the virtues. And then by participating in the life of this parish, because there's so many good things that go up, take place here in this parish, you're also learning by example how to exercise the cardinal virtues in your life. So stay connected to St. Albert the Great. It's a great place. The second thing is that virtues are habit-forming, but in a good way. A good way. Today, we usually think of habits in a bad way, right? I've got a bad habit, or they've got a bad habit. But Jesus was positive. He was a positive person. And because of that, he saw and he talked about developing good habits. Like, what are my good habits? Meaning, the habits of virtue. And developing and practicing those habits to the point where they become second nature, meaning that you don't have to think about it. It's just so wrapped up, it's so a part of you, it's just natural and it takes place. It reminds me of a situation that took place at the school mass this week. I was given the homily, and I hope it wasn't because of that, but one of the students became sick during the mass, and immediately, one of the teachers, they got up and they responded to the need of the student. And then our school principal proceeded to clean up the floor. Now, you know, I thought that really impressed me as I was looking at that, as I was watching this transpire, because there was a sense of naturalness to it. You know, they responded to the needs of the person and they were sensitive to the needs of those around them. And I thought, how wonderful that is to see the good virtues of charity and kindness and humility as a second nature to these wonderful leaders in our school. The third thing is that the second level of virtues is called theological. Have you heard of theological virtues? All right, anybody heard of that? Well, that's why we need to brush up on our Catholic catechism. And here's what's exciting about the theological virtues are that they take the cardinal ones and they put them into the supernatural realm. See, humans are capable of doing only so much. They can only go so far. But when we have the power of God in our lives, wow, they can go a whole lot farther. They can exceed human comprehension and human ability. And Paul hits it, you know, he talks about this infusion today in the second reading of, into the cardinal virtues with the power of the Holy Spirit. What does he say? He says to the church, he says, my message and my proclamation came through a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith, it doesn't rest upon human wisdom, he says, but it rests upon the power of God. That's taking our virtues in life and taking them to a totally different, higher level. And I think St. John Vianney was right on target when he said this: virtue demands courage, constant effort, and above all, it demands help from on high. We gotta have the power of the Holy Spirit. See, here's what happens. It really ties in with what Jesus was saying. Cardinal virtues that are on theological steroids, they will grab the attention of people. When you really go above and beyond what is expected of you, and you enter into this level of being where as one who is a citizen in the kingdom of God lives, people notice. They take notice of that. And you're going to see what I'm talking about over the next 2 weeks, because there is absolutely no way that we could live out some of our Lord's most beloved teachings that we're going to hear in the next 2 weeks without the power of faith, hope, and love. They're just that important. The theological virtues: faith, a trust and strong belief in God; hope, believing in God that through God something good is going to happen; and love, kindness, and tolerance in judging others. How beautiful that is. What a great faith we have, isn't it? I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. First of all, are you growing in your knowledge and practice of the virtues? Good question here. How second nature are the virtues in your life? Do you perform them? And then the other thing is, do you perform them with a desire to get attention for yourself, or you do them purely for the praise of God? That's a big thing. That's a big thing. And the second thing is this: living the theological virtues is also personally rewarding. It's not only the one who receives, but it's also the giver who is rewarded. And we see that in the reading today. In today's gospel reading, it is the first place in Matthew that Jesus refers to God. He no longer says God, but he says Father. He says God as our Father. And as we heard in the first reading, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness. And he says, here's the blessing of living out the virtues. He says, when you call the Father, he will say, here I am, my child. God bless you. Now I invite you to remain seated while I ask Mallory, who is going to be confirmed, to come forward, and also Amanda, her sponsor. Here's some of that excitement I was talking about today, the virtues that are lived and the desire to know Christ and to come into the church, the fellowship of the church. We're so glad to have you today. Mallory, by virtue of your baptism, you have become a member of Christ and of His